Nice sweatshirt. There's a
this
dragon.
Is my high school Ooh. Ski team sweatshirt.
What's with the dragon?
Cornwall dragons represent
cornball.
Ouch.
Oh, cool.
Corn that... wall, not ball.
Oh, man, I would have been a good bully at your high school. Hey, Kyle, it's been so long.
Oh, are we actually going to do a podcast now?
Yeah, Tom left.
Boring.
We should do a special. Wait a minute, let me see what the episode number.
It is 50.
50.
Right?
50. Yeah. Half centennial. I love that. This is the half centennial episode. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm a little tired today, but other than that, I mean, what else is new? I mean, it's Friday. End of the week. How are you? What's going on? How was your week?
My week was pretty good. I'm still recovering from South By.
Yeah.
Which was
is
here in Austin. It's still going on. But the interactive or the heavy part of the interactive stuff is over.
Wow. Were you like super interactive?
I was super interactive, which is why I'm still trying to get back to normal.
Which is why you put on the high school sweatshirt and
which
you're
is why
cowering
I'm working
in the
why
corner.
I'm working from home, wearing the high school sweatshirt helps me get back into the mindset of design.
Yeah. What was the most interesting thing that you checked out this past week?
Oh, the most interesting thing.
Like, what are you still thinking about?
I am still thinking about... Have you heard of Bruce Mao?
No.
He's like... How do I explain? Like, he's a proponent of design thinking and problem solving and design as a process kind of thing. He came out with a book called Massive Change.
Okay.
And it's essentially like a design ethics book. And his talk was about some of the points that he makes in that book. I think that he's refined over time. That was really inspiring to hear how like he talked about his 24 ways for massive change. He'd like pull out one of the ways and then like talk about how he's used that in a project. And his projects... Like range and from like he's not doing digital product design. He's like tackling experiences. So right now I think he's working at an event company that actually helps put together South by Southwest and the Super Bowl and other insanely huge events. And so he's thinking about people's experience for that.
Cool. Did he help with this current South by Southwest?
Yeah, he did. Oh. Or his company did. I don't know what, like, he's one of those people where, like, he also has, like, a foundation.
Oh, wow. Must have been packed. Was it pretty packed? He must have been, like, one of the major...
Yeah, he was in one of the big rooms.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that, like, was interesting that he started off the talk with that I'm still kind of thinking about is so he was... I guess earlier in his career, traveling a lot, and one of his coworkers, like every time they'd go to a hotel and they'd have like a bad experience at a hotel, which is, I mean, from what I've experienced, fairly common, unless you're willing to pay a lot of money, he would complain about the bad experience. Bruce's original stance was like, who cares? It's just a hotel.
Yeah.
And I guess over time, he's come to change that mindset of like, we only have a short amount of time here, and we want to make sure that the experiences that we're having are great experiences. So try to turn that story into a learning lesson, I guess.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good talk about like how design thinking can help us change the world, make the world a better place.
That's interesting because we talk a lot about, you know, what are some non-traditional design projects we could do? And that sounds like that's a really interesting direction to try out in terms of like actual experiences, like actual experience design and not on an interface. But, you know, an event like that, that's so funny because I think too, naturally as designers, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm always talking about things I'm experiencing, whether it's a website or whether it's literally like buying a ticket to something. in person, you know, the interaction I've had. Hotels are a huge thing. I have a whole bucket of awful experiences that I love to talk about, you know. And that's, I wonder, because those are all, it's great, but is there anything around the actual logistics of how to show someone the value in creating a better experience, like a potential client, you know?
I don't remember, which is terrible. This was one of the first talks I went to.
Okay, yeah.
And so there were, you know, Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday full of talks.
Whoa.
So they're all like jumbled in my head. But that
were
one,
you alone?
I went with Lindsay, okay. Our VP of marketing. And she actually went to that talk with me.
Cool.
But she went to a bunch of other marketing. South by Southwest has turned into this huge, huge event, which like we can get into things that I didn't like, I guess.
Sure.
Later. But man, there's a lot of people. Last year, I tried to avoid a lot of the crowds and I was selective about some of the free events that I went to and just met up with people for coffee here or lunch while they were in town. And generally avoided all of it. And I was like, well, this year I want to do the opposite of that. I'm going to immerse myself into the chaos.
Mm.
And I'm out on the other side now. And
wow. You've made it. Welcome.
I made it through.
Where do you sit in like those talks? Like, are you a front person, middle person, or like standing in the back wall person? I'm so curious.
It depends on how invested I am in the talk. Like in that one, we were like right in the middle. Like the whole front of the talk was already taken up.
Mm-hmm.
And by front, I mean like there were probably like 25 rows in front of us that were
wow.
all already full. So I just found like next closest.
Nice.
For some of them that I'm like, this could be good or this could be really bad. And I'd want to just like duck out. If it's
yeah.
really bad, which is like with South by totally acceptable.
Yeah.
Which, try and sit in the back corner or back row.
Yeah.
Yeah. For that, I knew I've read the book and I knew or I thought going in, I could make the investment and choose like a front or as close as I could get in the middle of the row seat and be like, staying to the end of this one.
Might ask a question if I could, you know, whenever I think about asking a question, it's like way before question time. And then I start to get very hot and like kind of sweaty. And I'm like, oh God, I'm going to ask this. Oh, and then all of a sudden all my attention is on the question I want. And then it's just a big mess. I try not to do that. Like, I'm going to ask a question, but I'm not going to think about what I'm going to ask. Maybe I'll just wing it. That's not anxiety inducing at all. Just in front of like hundreds of people. Oh, I hate when they hand the microphone. It's even worse. Like, I'd rather just try and yell this as loud as I can and maybe have people hear it. I don't want to like speak into a microphone.
They were in the big rooms.
Oh, God.
They had the system where I guess you could sign in and ask a question into this probably like web app type thing.
Oh.
And I'm not a question asker to begin with. And
mm-hmm.
to put the extra layer of like you have to sign into some web app and like find the right page where I can ask a question. I'm like, yeah, not doing that.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
I'm not a question asker.
Right.
Usually I roll my eyes at the people that are asking questions.
Oh, my God. That's like every talk. Every talk, there's an eye roller somewhere. It's like, come on, guys.
I'm that jerk.
If the question's way too long, I'm like, oh, no. I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of the times questions turn into like someone else's platform to like
yes.
debate
yes.
the
yes.
talk. And she's like, no, this isn't. No,
yeah.
you have the wrong idea of what this mic in front of you is for.
Yeah. And you don't know if this person is a short answer or like a very detailed long answer. So sometimes I'm like, oh, how is he going to answer this? Is this going to be another 10 minutes? I don't know. Like, I recently did a user interview where the interviewee was super quick with his answers. It was like really insane. Like I'd ask a question and he'd give an answer in a sentence. And then it was like, whoa. So then I had to ask questions really fast or to keep the pace. It was crazy. It was like really insane. I've never had one like that. It was like he was a straight no BS, no like, well, if I didn't really think about it, it was like, oh, yes, next week and then the week after, period. It's like, wow, okay.
was that good or like?
It was good because I just asked so many questions. It was a cool flow because it kind of really allowed for this rhythm of just listening to what he was saying, asking about the last thing he said, and like really go. But it took a lot of work because it was like you have to be present for the entire hour, you know, because you're just like really listening to everything he's saying and like trying to go off of it and not, you know. It was really interesting. But anyway, that just reminded me of that.
That's one of my, like, when doing jobs to be done switch style interviews, one of my favorite things is being able to just say, tell me a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to kind of take a breather.
Yeah, elaborate. Get them to dive into it a little more, or like whatever variation of that question that I ask. Just like, let's dive into this feeling that you just said you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. That's good. What other feelings did you have during South by Southwest? Why don't you tell me more about that? Why don't you dive into that, Kyle?
Yeah, some of this might be just South by in general. Some of it is my feelings on conferences, but like a lot of it had to do with, I went to a couple panels on Monday.
Oh boy.
And
okay.
Panels. Yeah. Panels are the worst for the people.
Were you eye rolling the whole time? Just picture you in the back.
Unless like you have to have a series of like a very good moderator who's, uh-huh, willing to get people to have conflicting points of view in the panel, mm-hmm, and people in the panel that are willing to have conflicting points of view and not just up there to like think they're there to pitch themselves or pitch their company or pitch whatever. Like, I feel like, ooh, because it's so unscripted, it turns into this agreement thing. And
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I just feel like people don't dive into the details, the nitty gritty of what, and that could be true of talks, but since talks, a lot of the times are more prepared and people are like, have put a lot of thought into, hopefully put a lot of thought into what people are going to get out of their talk. I don't think people do that same thing with the panel. And so you don't get good detail. Most of the time it's all happy and cheery and like, people try to avoid conflict on stage.
I see.
And they're just like there to sell themselves.
Oh.
It's like the people that are like going up to ask the question, but instead of asking a question, they're telling a story about themselves. It's like a platform for them.
Mm. Do you have which panels did you go to? Do you
remember? I feel like that's mean to call out the panels.
Oh, well, that's very true. I'm just kind of curious, like, was it about design? Like, was it about like new technologies, like stuff like that?
One of them was about design and one of them was about leadership. And the one about design, like, they just stayed so high level or talked about mistakes in air quotes of like things that are like so easy to think around that I was just like, this, and maybe I'm just a jerk. I don't know. It was stuff that didn't seem like it was real. And then the leadership stuff was just like, it was just a bunch of people kind of agreeing with each other, but not going, diving deep. I don't know.
Yeah. So you should go up there and just fight with everybody. You should be like family
feud. Maybe I just
want
drama.
You think you just want drama. Yeah. Is there drama at this panel?
Yeah.
I'm going to make some. There's none.
Maybe it's the 4-person panel where like you have to have like etiquette too of like one person talks and then the next person talks and it's just too many people. One of the talks I went to was like half talk and half like fireside chat. And I've been to a couple, you know, one-on-one essentially chats where people are just like kind of listening into the conversation, and those can get a lot more in-depth and they're a lot better than the 4-person panel because like everyone's trying to vie for their time on the mic or like trying to interrupt another person or like, I don't know. The 4-person panel plus moderator, just I've never been to one that's super good. But I understand why people like putting them on is because like as a person who's been on a panel, before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so much nicer because I don't have to prepare. I can just go up there and shoot from the hip.
That's so, exactly what you don't like about it as being an attendee. It's so, what a vicious cycle.
Right. So, I like, a lot of it kind of goes back to the conference design and design of some of the events. Some of it is just, like, speakers who weren't totally prepared, which, like, all of this is really hard to, like, all of that is really hard to do. Like, to get up and do what essentially what Bruce did, which I imagine he has so much history there of, like, going up and being really terrible. It takes a lot to be really good at giving a conference talk.
Yeah.
And I know that because often do you not do very good at it.
Yeah. And then how often, I mean, unless you're on the conference circuit, as they say, then you're able to really hone in. But if you're doing it once a year, that's tough to get good at really quickly.
Yeah. In South By, in general, there's just so much going on. And depending on the talk, like if people flock to one talk, you'll not get in. So I went to, I tried to get into one talk. It was another leadership talk from someone at IDEO. And we got there like 25 minutes early, but 25 minutes into waiting in line, they're like, oh yeah, the room's full.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Did you get tacos instead or did you go to another talk?
Man, tacos are so much of a better idea.
I'd be like, oh, we tried. Let's go eat.
Let's go get tacos.
Sometimes I feel like just showing up to any of those things and just being a body in the room is like you can check it off. And you're like, well, I went to this thing and I don't know. It was fine. Like, I feel like with panels, I feel that way about, because, you're just kind of want to be involved in a chat that someone's having, I guess. Like, be a fly in the wall. I don't know. Like you, I've only been to one or two panel discussions. And one of them wasn't even in this field at all. It was in, political science. It was really interesting because, the people who had asked the questions were people who were, they want to start a debate. Like immediately. So it was just like a weird situation. It ran way over and oh man, like if you know that you have like 5 minutes to like make your point and then people were like going over intentionally because they're like, no, I got more to say. I'm like, ugh, like that sucks, you know? Have some self-control.
So yeah, I think I'm on pause for conferences for a little while and I'm probably not buying a pass to South By again next year.
Yeah.
Just because personally, I get a lot more out of one-on-one conversations and those smaller, like free events. Like, I think I got more out of South By last year than I did this year, even though I went and invested a lot more time, energy, money into it this year. I think like last year was the better way to go for me. I'm also like a very introverted person. So like going out on Friday night, Saturday night, Monday night to events that are happening in the city after going to conference all day, super exhausting.
Yeah, that's fairly tiring. It's very tiring. And how is it living in Austin during this time? I mean, is it kind of nuts? I mean, your city is flooded with people.
They wisely plan the spring break for both UT, which is the big college here, and for all like high school, middle school, elementary school is this week. So South By will look at the school schedule and be like, okay, this is the week spring break is. This is the week we're going to have at least the first week of South By. Or maybe they talk to each other. I don't know. But so it decreases on like the count of people that are on the roads and doing stuff because it's spring break. So all the locals aren't diving into the city as much. And so it's not too bad. Where I live outside the city, driving in isn't an issue because I live west and our offices west of everything that's going on. Hmm. And I'm doing hand motions on an auto podcast because
they look great for everyone.
Or I would have avoided all of it if I wasn't involved. So it's not too bad. As long as like it's like a pocket of downtown that you just avoid while people are there.
Yeah. I haven't been to a conference before, like that multi-day type thing. I would imagine it would take a lot of work to kind of make it sustainable for yourself, you know? And sometimes I personally do that thing where I'm like in the moment and I'll just do an extra thing because why not? It's in the moment. And then those little extra things start adding up over the course of a few days, and then and it's Friday and you found your hole to crawl into.
Oh, I found my hole on Wednesday. Yeah. And I was like, I am just going to work from home for the rest of the week.
Yeah. I went to a couple of networking events last night, and it was great, actually. It was pretty energizing, which is really nice. I also knew I had, you know, I had like a time in mind that I was definitely going to leave by. So that was helpful. And kind of knowing, like, I wrapped up a conversation with someone. It was for about 20, 25 minutes. I knew I had to leave within the hour. So I was like, I think like should go now, because if I were to engage with someone, it would be another like half an hour and then blah, blah, blah. I need to eat. So I was like very diligent with my networking. Like I made sure I was fed. Ample travel time, was out on the couch by 8 o'clock relaxing. And that was very helpful. So yeah, I can imagine for a conference.
You got it down. Boom, boom, boom.
I know myself, Kyle. You know, it's the most important thing, everyone. Know your limits and know when to test them. I didn't want to test them on like a Thursday, you know? I'll save that for like the weekend. But sometimes networking, like the idea of going to a networking event, even the idea in of itself is just exhausting. Like how many people are going to be there? I mean, honestly, the first thing I think of is like, when does it end? So I can like mentally prepare. It's not that I don't like meeting people, but it's just I like doing it in like that organic way, you know? I really like one-on-one conversations too. So it's really funny when you're at a networking event to network, and then you have a name tag, and your name tag says a little bit about you, and then people like squint at it, and they like walk up to you, and you're like, "Oh, hey, like, oh, you're from Thoughtbot," and then that's then you start, you know, and you're like, "Here we go, start your engines."
Yeah, after doing a bunch of those events this weekend, for me, it's like the middle school dance. Like, I go into them with this idea that I'm going to be like the person in the middle that's doing all these awesome moves. But in the end, I'm like totally one of the people like against the wall being like, and trying to find the other people that are against the wall instead of like diving in.
Yeah.
I also don't like how it's like totally up to chance if you meet someone that's doing something that you think is interesting too, and like have a good conversation. But it's also so awkward when you find someone that you don't think is interesting, or like you don't want to have a further conversation. It's like, how do you cut them off?
And,
and it's like all of those dynamics are just really weird. And like, I'd rather, you know, it sounds like we're on the same page. It's just like pinpoint people that I really want to talk to and what I want to talk to them about, and like buy them coffee or buy them lunch, and like have a more, you know,
it's more in-depth, thoughtful
conversation.
Yeah, it's certainly a life skill that we don't learn in, like, you try and learn in school, but I mean, we have Boy Scouts, we have Girl Scouts. Like, do you have anything around communication, like how to get out of an awkward conversation? Like, oh no. Oh, you do like ice, you like study ice nuclei. Cool. Like I have nothing to contribute. Shit.
Even in like college, having some sort of preparation for like that communication. And also like for designers, having some sort of business, like forcing designers to take business classes of like, hey, this is what a social networking event is going to be like, and this is how you should approach those. This is like giving talks. This is how you do a P&L and like how you do accounting and how to read through a business budget. Like, wish I had all of those things.
Yeah.
Those like business tools instead of some of the other classes that I took, like that were probably very enriching for my soul, but less enriching for my future.
Right. And then you also, it's so abstract that you have to kind of be thrown into it in order to learn it, you know. I find that in those situations and networking events, I find the people who also are clearly flustered. And I go up to them and say, God, I hate these things. And they're like, me too. And then you make bonds over that. That's kind of, it's so funny when you're smiling the whole time and you're like making, you're like, yeah, we're doing the rounds. And then just being like, oh my God, I'm so, I don't, I want to talk about other stuff. I don't want to talk about, like, I don't know, how do you pronounce water where you're from? Like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't know.
Why not? It's an interesting conference. How do you pronounce water where you're from?
No, I'm not doing this. That's like the most boring. I find it to be like the most boring conversation in the world.
Do people actually say that? No one's ever said that to me.
Oh, sometimes people, no, I mean, I don't think anyone said it to me either, but I just like as an example of like, you start to like get into these weird conversations and you're kind of locked into it, you know, if you're like, oh, I can't make up an entire conversation. Yeah. Right.
Philly people say water.
No.
Like I'm not. Two D's, W-U-D-D, water.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. See, now we're going to, I don't want to get into it. I'm not going to participate.
But I don't know. Everyone else just says water, right? Am I saying it weird?
I don't know.
Oh my God, I'm second guessing everything now.
So there was a conference I applied to that was over, it was like traveling conference where you go and you stay somewhere. I know that doesn't sound very exotic because those people did travel to Austin. You live there. So this was like, I was thinking a lot about that too. It's so funny because we're talking about, I mean, and you just went to South By. You just went there for like a week. And we're just talking about how like those situations are like kind of tiring, kind of stressful. And then here I am, I signed up for one that's like, hey, how about I just go to a hotel for like a week and be completely immersed and see how I feel at the end of that.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons to that too. Like, I'm honestly able to better decompress when I have a hotel to go back to than what I did here, which is like come back to my house. Because staying at my house, my whole family is living here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I come home and I don't have that reprieve. Because, you know, my kids need stuff. My wife's doing stuff. Like, so everything
That's
else
so
is going on, regular life. But that is also because I have a wife and kids. And they have their own lives. And they don't revolve around South by Southwest. Go figure.
That's a really good point. I remember for our ThoughtBot, for our summer summit, when it was in New York, and I was living in New York, it was a very different experience than when I traveled to Boston for the next summit, because for the New York one, I was doing all the activities everyone else was doing, but rather than going back to the hotel, which was like a 10-minute walk, I was like going back on the train, going on the subway, taking like 45 minutes to get home, trying to decompress in my apartment that, like, you know, there's like the air, even just in general, you have like there's a to-do list, right? You see stuff, you do stuff. Like, so it's just different. It took a little more out of me than when I traveled and stayed in a hotel.
Yeah.
Because I was able to kind of sneak away a little bit too, like during summit, and just kind of like relax a little bit. For New York, there was a moment too where I was able to sneak away. Not sneak away, but like after one of the events, before a dinner, we had like a couple hours to kill. I like went home for a second and I lay down for literally 15 minutes and then like went back on the train and went into the city again. But yeah, it was probably more exhausting than just staying out. But I was just like, yeah, I can totally see. You're able to take like an entire like mind like vacation if you're traveling for a conference. That's really that's an interesting point. Yeah. If there could be a conference, like any conference, like not design related, but like anything, like what would you definitely go to a conference about?
Definitely.
Like anything.
So there was a series of conferences, I think it was every year for a couple of years, called Build. And I am very sad that I never went to those. I think they were in Ireland. I still refer to some of the talks that were given. You know, Wilson Minor gave a really amazing talk. I think I'm trying to remember the other ones, but they're not off the top of my head. But like every year it seemed like they had at least one or two or three like amazing talks. And they put them all online, but it just seemed like a really great conference. Conferences are really tricky because, again, like giving a talk, like, unless someone's really good at it, they usually don't come off very, like, and especially the way that I learn, like, I don't learn through someone speaking. So really what I'm trying to get out of a conference when I do go is some sort of inspiration or like renewed drive. So like going to that Bruce Mau talk was really good because it like renewed my passion for design. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to learn anything from that talk. Like a lot of it was just like, hey, like design is awesome. But I felt empowered. I felt a lot better about like what I do.
Yeah. That's great.
Like the conferences where people are trying to teach you something or like, that's not the way that I learn. So that's not what I'm looking for, I guess, out of a conference. It's mm-hmm. giving me a better understanding of, you know, how I can take their passion for whatever they're doing and apply it and like absorb some of it, I guess, and like mm-hmm. make me feel excited for the things I'm doing. Renewed excitement, I guess.
That's great.
That's what I would be looking for in a conference.
Yeah. What about like an answer, like making up something, like movie announcer?
Movie announcer conference?
Yeah, like all the different ways you can.
I mean, they have conferences about everything. They probably have a movie announcer conference. Maybe I should go to that one next.
I'd be interested in like a voiceover conference. Maybe we should go and
they
then
definitely
apply.
Have. Right.
We should apply those learnings to our podcast.
I'm sure they have a conference for people who are hosting podcasts. There's probably multiple.
Yeah. I wonder what those are like. I just pictured a cloud above my head, like a thought cloud.
Yeah.
And then it's me like walking around being like smiling like an idiot. Listening. It's just see this playing out in my head.
So the nice thing about that, and I think the nice thing that I've been to like a TEDx or a 99U or like Creative Mornings will have people that aren't talking about design, but they're talking about I hate the word creative, but that's the only word that's coming to mind. Like creative endeavor. So arts, entertainment, like dance, which I guess is also art, but like they're not all about like how I put these pixels on the screen. And
yeah.
I guess those that are like separated from product design are more empowering. They re-energize me more than like, this is how we put pixels on the screen. You should do it this way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give that talk at Venture Cafe in a couple of weeks on April 5th, I believe. It's like a Thursday in Boston. And that's about design sprints. And that's about putting pixels somewhere or elsewhere. Well, it's more process stuff. But I'm like already thinking of ways to make that interesting and not. I think if I'm just as animated as humanly possible, maybe it'll be interesting. I'll just go just completely nuts.
Yeah.
Just do voices.
I think that's definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
Just be crazy. And at least they'll walk out being like, wow, she was really into design sprints.
Oh, can you imagine? Don't give up your day job ever. Anyway, I have to
I gotta get out of here too.
So let's do it.
Episode 50. Woo!
50.
Yeah, you can find her show notes at tentative.fm/50. You can see our tweets at tentative.fm. Yep. Email us at host@tentative.fm. You can rate us on iTunes. I should know all of this by now after 50
episodes.
We should
write this down. We're going to write this down next. After 50, you got to start writing this stuff down.
I think I did at one point, and then I was like, I don't need it written down.
Yeah, right. Case
That's
in point.
When we also did like an intro instead of like, we did like, hey, this is the Tentative Podcast. You're listening to the Tentative Podcast with Kyle and Jacqueline.
Right. Da-na-na-na.
So we used to do one of those every episode, and then we're like, meh.
Let's try it next time. A whole new us.
A whole new us.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Don't you dare close your ears.
Nice. All right, Kyle.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Rest up.
Yeah, I will. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by ThoughtBot. We are experienced designers and developers who turn your idea into the right product. With local studios in Boston, San Francisco, New York, London, Austin, Raleigh, and Washington, D.C., let's build something great together.